One of the most common and worthy goals of any marathoner is to be able to race the iconic Boston Marathon. But did you know that training for Boston, if you want to get it right, will require you to do a few things differently? While the point-to-point race is a net downhill, the terrain is tricky. Factor in the unpredictable weather, and you could easily trip up in training. I've run the Boston Marathon in both steamy hot weather and icy cold rain, and I wouldn't trade either one of those days for the world. The training that I did and how I prepare my athletes today includes specific training that you might not need for other marathons, and that's what I'm going to explain today. Welcome to The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and my mission is to help you improve your running, your mindset, and your life with science-backed training and plant-based nutrition. Today, I'm going to go over what makes the Boston Marathon unique and why you need to change up your training, some common training myths and mistakes that marathoners make, and what kind of workouts you should include in your Boston Marathon buildup. If you've qualified for Boston or are dreaming of doing so one day, you don't want to miss this. I also wanted to announce that we are changing up our Apple Podcast Review Contest, and now we're giving away one of my new Sprint Sessions Masterclasses. They are 30-minute live and recorded classes with me every other month, and this month is all about Speedwork 101. To learn more and sign up, head to theplantedrunner.com/sprint. Or you can enter to win one for free just by writing an Apple Podcast Review. I'll choose a new winner every month. Don't forget to stay tuned all the way to the end of the episode for this week's Mental Strength Minute. Fortify your mind in 60 seconds or less. For my first Boston Marathon, I broke one of the cardinal rules of running: nothing new on race day. The weather forecast had dramatically shifted from absolutely perfect cool and cloudy to cold and rainy. So the day before, I bought a new hat, and I am so glad I did. I crossed the finish line cold and wet and with tears of joy. So my first tip for training for Boston is don't make the same mistake I did. Pack your suitcase with gear for all conditions, no matter what the forecast says when you're packing. Expect extreme weather and adjust your expectations and your clothing for the race if you get it. Most people train for Boston in the winter months, so you might get used to the cold, but it's pretty difficult to prepare for a hot race when you're not heat adapted. And not many people train that much in freezing rain and howling winds, which is a real possibility. Aim to vary your training to include cold, wet runs and hot treadmill runs, so you're physically and mentally prepared for any kind of weather in April. The second training mistake I see runners make is to overdo the hill repeats. Yes, Boston is hilly, but it's a myth that hill repeats train you specifically for hilly races. Let me explain. Hill repeats are awesome for any marathon, no matter what the course. You run up a fairly steep hill at a hard effort for 30 to 75 seconds and then walk or jog down as your rest and then repeat. The number of sets you do depends on your experience and your ability. Hard, short hill repeats build leg strength, develop neuromuscular connections, and get your heart pounding hard. Because you are fighting gravity, you can't run as fast as you would on flat. That means you can work harder at a slower speed, which lessens the chance of injury. But sprinting up a hill over and over again is not specific enough to what you will face on your way to Boston. Hill repeats are great to sprinkle into your training at the beginning of your training cycle, January and February, about once or twice a month, but as you get into the thick of training, you'll want to get more focused. The next mistake in preparing for Boston is freaking out over Heartbreak Hill. Despite its reputation, Heartbreak is not a steep hill. It's only about a half mile long and a 4.5% gradient. It's also not a continuous incline, so you have small breaks of flattish road as you ascend. So spending a ton of time training on uphills would not be the best use of your training. All hill work will make you stronger, but Heartbreak Hill takes up less than 2% of the Boston Marathon. So while you should not ignore uphill training, it shouldn't be your primary focus. focus on the other 98%. On the flip side, mistake number 4 is underestimating Heartbreak Hill. As I said, the hill itself really isn't that steep or that long, but it's challenging for 2 reasons. The first is because it's located at mile 20. That's a rough point in any marathon, and in my opinion, that's when the real work of the marathon starts. You've also been running up and down the rolling hills of Newton for the past 3 miles, so when you see Heartbreak looming ahead, in comparison, it's a beast. But the real reason Heartbreak could break your heart is due to all the downhill that comes before it. Running downhill is fun and freeing, and it's easy to get carried away because of how effortless it can feel. But you pay a big price in your quads for all that descent. Running fast downhill creates 54% more impact force on your legs than running on flat, and 75% more braking force. And you probably won't feel a thing until you have to change gears and go uphill. So you probably think that I'm going to tell you next that you really need to focus on downhill to get it right and really prepare those quads for the havoc of the hills. Well, if you did that, you'd be falling into the trap of Boston Marathon training mistake number 5. And that is spending the majority of your time on downhills. Yes, the race is a net downhill. And yes, you need to prepare for that with downhill running. But as I just mentioned, running downhill is very hard on your legs and creates extreme forces. So treat downhill running, especially fast downhill running, just like any hard speed session at the track. A little goes a long way, and too much could send you to the couch. I'll tell you exactly how much downhill you should be doing in each month of your Boston Marathon training right after this.
There is no hood like parenthood. When you meet a fellow parent, you just kind of get each other on a whole nother level. Hi, I'm Kanika Chanda Gupta. I'm a former CNN journalist, mom of 3, including twins, and host of That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. I interview change makers on their life lessons, legacy, and superpower of intuition, aka their mom sense and dad sense. I've had some pretty amazing parents on my show.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kelly Rowland.
Hi, this is Chelsea Clinton.
It's me, Bobby Brown. Can't wait to share my story.
Episodes release every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. Join my tribe at thatstotalmomsense.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chanda Gupta. I'm thrilled to be on this journey with you.
Women's Running Stories, where we explore the intersection between running and life. Because every woman who is committed to a running journey has a story to tell, and this is where you'll find those stories. I am host and producer Cherie Louise Turner. I'm a 53-year-old runner, and together with original music by musician and runner Cormac O'Regan, we bring these inspirational stories to life. Please join us to fuel your adventures.
If you're a marathoner or half marathoner, now is the time to plan for success for your big race. Instead of relying on motivation or going at it alone, come join an amazing group of runners just like you on the PR team. It's a virtual running team and so much more. You'll get a truly custom plan for all your running, strength, mobility, mental strength workouts, and more, all based on your fitness, your goals, and your lifestyle. You'll get all your questions answered by me and our super supportive team in a private online running community. And the coolest part is you get access to an exclusive weekly private podcast just for the team. I answer your questions on the show, give training advice specific to you and the rest of the team, and you can even stay anonymous if that's more your style. It's the sweet spot between just getting a DIY plan and full-on private coaching, even though you'll get lots of individual attention. All for as low as $75 a month. It's a perfect way to stick to your goals for the rest of the year and beyond. Not to mention, it's a lot of fun. Team spots are limited, so sign up today at theplantedrunner.com/group. That's theplantedrunner.com/group. Welcome back to The Planted Runner. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik. So how do you add just the right amount of downhill training into your Boston Marathon build at just the right time? You want to start slow. Slowly increase your volume and intensity on the downs over time. I recommend in January to start incorporating rolling hills into your easy runs every week if you can. If you're not used to running hills at all, try once a week. If you run them regularly, you can do most, if not all, of your easy runs on gentle hills, being careful to keep that effort easy. Be sure your shoes are cushioned enough to take the extra pounding that downhills require. Take your headphones off and listen to your footfalls on downhills. Do you sound like a ninja or Godzilla? Quiet, light steps are less pounding, which will make a big difference in the race. This leads me to mistake number 6, which is not working on rolling hills during your marathon-paced workouts. Yes, running at the track or getting in a good tempo run on flats is still going to be good training, but at some point, getting course-specific will be key. In February, start adding some downhills to any of your marathon-paced workouts, but avoid adding any speed on downhills that is faster than about 5 to 10 seconds of your marathon pace. You don't want to spend mile after mile going downhill fast. A little goes a long way. If you have rolling hills where you live, this is perfect. But if you're on the treadmill, most of them don't have a decline feature, but you can work on rolling inclines. Mistake number 7 is not having at least one Boston-specific long run. Here's what I mean. In March, you will have some of your longest long runs. On the easy pace long runs, you ideally want to approximate the course as best you can by running a mostly downhill route with a flat or a slight hill at the end. I don't recommend that you run every single long run on a downhill course because, again, the injury risk is too high and the delayed onset muscle soreness that can result can increase recovery time, which can interrupt your training. In all of the training plans that I create for Boston-bound marathoners, I include one or two Boston-specific long runs. If you'd like me to create your Boston Marathon plan, head to theplantedrunner.com/plans, and you'll get a plan that's not only custom to you, but custom to the Boston course. Mistake number 8 is being unprepared for the last 10K of the race. What most people do is say, sure, Heartbreak Hill is going to be tough, but once I'm over that, it's all downhill from there. And this is mostly true in terms of elevation lost, but I find the last 10K of the race to be the most difficult. Let's face it, the last 10K of any marathon should be hard, but this will feel like nothing else. If you went out too fast in the first half, and that is extremely easy to do on this course, your quads will feel like they have been shredded like hamburger meat at this point. After they've been given a 3-mile uphill break, they will have a very tough time getting back into action. There are also a couple of sneaky little dips and uphills to contend with as you come into Boston, so don't forget to save a little mental energy for powering through those all the way to the end. Mistake number 9 is not being mentally prepared for the optical illusions at the end. Okay, so these are not true optical illusions, but they might as well be to your tired brain. The famous sit-go sign marks the 1-mile point from the end of the race, but you will see it much, much earlier than that. It will seem like an oasis of water in the desert, but don't be fooled. You are not a mile away just yet. You'll get a similar feeling when you make the final left turn onto Boylston. The finish line will be in view and you'll be surrounded with screaming spectators. But you'll have the longest quarter mile you've ever run in your life to go, so don't celebrate too soon. Prepare for those mental mind tricks by visualizing them ahead of time. If you imagine them in full detail, perhaps thinking they are even worse than they really are, on race day, you won't be caught off guard. And finally, mistake number 10 is underestimating how truly incredible the Boston Marathon really is and how fortunate you are to even be training for it. If you are running Boston because you earned a spot with a fast qualifying race, you are among the very best runners in the sport. And if you are running because you're raising money for charity, you are even more amazing because your hard work and dedication is making a huge impact in the lives of others. For sure, Boston is expensive, crowded, logistically difficult, and not the easiest course or conditions for a fast marathon. But it's all worth it. Again, if you need a custom training plan for Boston, now is the time to get one at theplantedrunner.com/plans. Now it's time for the Mental Strength Minute. Fortify your mind in 60 seconds or less. Today's topic is visualization. The brain loves to predict what will happen next, and when it thinks you've done something before, it lights up and relaxes. The good thing is that just imagining an experience is almost as good as actually doing it. To visualize your next race, sit or lie somewhere quiet and close your eyes. Imagine yourself walking through every step you plan for race morning, from getting dressed to eating to arriving on the starting line. Go through every mile, thinking about what you will feel, hear, see, and smell. Don't just imagine everything going well. Imagine anything negative that could possibly happen, and then imagine how you will overcome. The more details you can fill in, the better. Imagine finishing the race strong and happy with your dream goal time flashing above the finish line, happy tears streaming down your face. While very simple to do, visualization is a classic mental technique that can dramatically impact your racing success, and it's more effective the more often you do it. If you need some help visualizing a race you've never done before, head to YouTube to see if there are any course videos you can watch. There are some great ones for Boston. Thank you for listening to The Planted Runner, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Don't forget that you can win free access to one of my Sprint Session masterclasses just for writing an Apple Podcast review. So be sure to write yours right after your run today. Reviews are the number one way to boost this show's reach, and it's a great way to tell me what you'd like to hear next because I read every single one. Have a great run today.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.